Ah, poi sai. Baruch Hashem, we are coming to the conclusion, Bezer Hashem, Siyum, of these three wonderful days, Yarchi Kalav Shalheves, and I see that it's Baruch Hashem number 35, and almost always the Bezril Zayin Gesund is mechabed me to give a conclusion discussion. And many times I have many different feelings about this discussion that I'm supposed to give now, Bezer Hashem. I'm saying this in the word of Hakdama. Today I will change a little the nusach of the way I usually give this discussion, this last neila, just as a remez. It's yidua that after Ne'ilah, many great people have a minhag that they learn a blat gemara. They sit and learn. Because derech klal Yom Kippur, everyone goes home, everyone's hungry right after the tainus. And the world has no Torah. And the world without Torah has no existence. Yidua the Baran Zichron Livracha used to have a special inyan to learn right after Ne'ilah. I feel that Reb Zriel, in his last wonderful discussion, was Yotzei the Chayves Ne'ila with Halacha Lamaisa, with wonderful suggestions which Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us, we should be able to accomplish. And I will today change my minhag a little bit, and with your permission I will learn a Blat Gemara which I learned a few weeks ago in Daf HaYomi. Many of us maybe are participating. I will ask the Mechila from the Ezes Noshim if they are not used to learning Gemara. And B'li Nedr, Be'ezer Hashem, at the end of the discussion, I'll make it more interesting for all sides. But I'll try to explain what I'm going to try to bring out in simple language I can. The Gemara is a very famous Gemara, and the Gemara is a Masechtas Psochim. The Gemara says, Tonu Rabbonon, we learned. Chachmei Umois Ha'olam, the wise men of the nations, the Goyesh Chachomim, they say, Mazolois Kavuois V'Galgal Choizer. V'Chachmei Yisroel Oimrim, Galgal Kavua U'Mazolois Choizeris. This is the Gemara, and I will explain in very simple language what this means. We are talking now a little about astronomy and astrology, more about astrology than about astronomy. Now, we know that there is a world of stars above us. Today, in our generation, the chokhmah of astrology is very weak. Today, we can drive a car for years, and we know that there's a gas pedal and there's a steering wheel, and it's not important for us to know that there's a motor within. But people in the previous times used to know that when a person turns rich, a certain person turns poor, a certain person turns healthy, chas v'sholem, the opposite. All these hashpoyas come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the utensil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu activates is called mazolos. In translation, English, it's constellations. Am I right? Now, the mazolos are groups of stars in the heavens. And these mazolos have a cycle of 24 hours, like all of the heaven. The sun and all the stars, the day cycle, every 24 hours the mazolos go around. Now there is a machlokes between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Chachmei Umos HaOlam believe, and they say, till this very day, mazolos kavois, these group of stars, that they are actually, the word mazel comes to the word noizel, that through them Hashem brings down, it drips down to us all different hashpoyas that we want to receive from Hashem, and sometimes which we're not so happy about receiving. These groups of stars are kavua. And there is a galgal that cycles the world. Today, they say that the world rotates about, around himself. I don't know astronomy enough to voice an opinion. But this is the opinion of Chachmi Umas Ha'olam. Mazal is kavois. There are groups of stars in the heavens. The galgal choizer, and there is a cycle, a day cycle, which turns them. Chachme Yisrael say, Galgal kavua umazolos choizros. Actually, this cycle of mazolos is not that the cycle of the day, the world rotates around himself, but the stars actually change position. Which is, in other words, galgal kavua umazolos choizros. Now, for a moment to give insight to this machlokes, which is not my subject, the machlokes is in simple language as follows. Chachmei Umas Ha'olam believe, and the one who really introduced this idea, the first in the Torah, which is not the truth of the Torah, is Iyov. Iyov was an absolutely righteous person. And Chazal tell us that he was in parallel with Avraham Avinu to a certain extent. And all of a sudden he was inflicted with terrible, terrible Yisurim. Yisurim that miraculously he was able to, he lived. He suddenly lost his family, all his children. He lost his health. He was sick. He was in pain. He lost all his money. Hashem said to the Satan, just keep his life. Everything besides life you could take away. And he was left with three things. With his life, with his wife, which is obviously his life, and his friends, which obviously is also his life. The Sultan couldn't take away his friends because that's life itself. The Sultan couldn't take away his wife because that's life itself. But his children and his money and his riches and his health, everything was destroyed. And he knew that he's righteous. And he said, you know what the answer is? The answer is, Mazalos kavois, v'galgal chozer. The mazalos, Hashem gives riches and Hashem gives health. And this is all in a cycle. And a cycle has a natural turn. And my mazal was that the cycle just brought all of a sudden. One day I lost my family. And I lost my riches. And I lost my health. This is an expression of the Galashan HaGemara. Mazalos kavuos. Hashem doesn't turn the mazalos. Hashem doesn't give out health and happiness and parnosa. It's not something Hashem gives out. It's something that the natural cycle turns around. And Chachmei Yisrael says no. Chas v'sholem. The truth is, galgal kavua. There is a nature which is kavua. The nature has his pattern. Water will go down, fire will go up, 2 and 2 will be 4, and 5 and 5 will be 10. But mazalos, health, parnosa, children, life, mazalos, choizros. This is in the hands of Hashem. A very famous machlekes. It's a machlekes how to understand astronomy. And I think I tried to explain. It's a very basic machlekes in Hashkofa. Am I explaining myself, everybody said? Huh? Excellent, Baruch Hashem. I just want to know if it comes from both sides. Now, the Goyen Mivilna says, really, in Chochmah of astronomy, actually, Chachmei Umas Ha'olam should be right. And I'm going to take off a few minutes to explain the way I understand it. But the Goyen says, The reason why Chachmi Umasa'ila made this mistake, and again, we're not discussing now Hashkofet, because of course the neshama of the Machlokes, as we said, is a very, very essential, basic Hashkofet. Whether all the different mazalis that we have, is this a natural cycle, Chas V'Sholim, or is this a godly cycle? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is Machzir, who turns the mazalis. But speaking pure astronomy or astrology, I will not go into the difference between them. There's a vast, vast difference between these two chokhmas. We would understand that Chachmi Umasailam are right. And today most of us were taught in school that the world rotates around itself. And let's not go into the Maisa, whether how things work physically. And the Goyen says, the reason why Chachmi Umasailam made this mistake, because they know of 12 mazalis. And everyone here knows who they are, this Tler, this Shor, Tumim, etc., etc., 12 mazalis. Actually, in Sefer Yetzirah is, by translate, the book of creation written by Avraham Avinu, just about Avraham Avinu or Rabbi Kiva, we don't know exactly, but it's the Torah of Avraham Avinu, whatever it is. There is a 13th mazal, and he is called Teli, Tof Lamed Yud. This is a constellation in the heavens, which is Nistar. It is hidden from human eye. And because they don't know this secret, they made their mistake. Now I'm going to explain this, and again, as I said, today's shir, at least the first part of the shir, is not a shir in Hashkofa. When someone tells Hashkofa, you have to take responsibility, you're saying what is correct, what is right. What I'm saying now is a Blat Gemur. I'm saying my understanding, you can take it, you can elaborate on it, you can disapprove, and you can say a better pshat. And whoever has a better pshat, just for my bakasha, please tell me. But this is what the Goyen says. The Goyen says that there is something hidden in the heavens called Teli. And because the Goyim don't know this, now I will quote the words of Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah says these words. He says, speaks about three monarchies. Monarchy, I think it's my melech, three kinds of melochim, three kingdoms. And the words he says as follows. Teli Ba'olam kemelech yoshev al kisoy. And he continues, Galgal bishono kemelech b'medina, and lev b'nefesh kemelech b'milchoma. A king has three positions. Sometimes we see a king out of war. We see him at action. You don't have to be very special to see the king. When a king is out at war, everyone can receive the king's face. You can get to know the king. He's out at war. Sometimes the king is in the Medina. He is taking a walk. Here, there are different positions. Sometimes he's closed in his chariot. Sometimes he's taking a walk. But he's not so open to everybody. And there's a third position, Melech Yoshev al Kisoy. When the Melech is on his throne, he's in his palace, almost nobody can be Mekabel Pnei HaMelech. And here the Sefer Yetzirah says, Teli ba'olam kemelech yoshev al kisoy. This constellation in the world is like the king in his throne, and he is hidden from all eye. And he is the one that actually turns the constellations, of course, with Hashem's power. And this is the answer to the question of Chachmi Umasa'ilam. And I will try to explain it. Again, this is what the Goyen says. I will try to explain it in the way of simple understanding in astronomy. And then I will take everything I discussed until now. And I think you realize I'm not just trying out to learn Daf Gemara. To bring this into Hashkofet, which I think is very, very important for us, and maybe a klolis of everything we learned these three wonderful days. Let me, with your permission, speak a moment pure astronomy. One of the very important claims, now I don't know astronomy, I never went to school. I shouldn't say this in public, because many of you would be just turned off and looking at me. But the Gemara says that if you have a chesaron, spit it out. Eliezer said, Eved Avraham Anochi, I'm a slave. I never went to school. I never graduated elementary school. My father took me out and sent me to cheder. What should I do? Bavoinus. I don't know what was Bavoinus, but I didn't learn in cheder either. One of the big problems that the astronomers say, why it's impossible that the world, that the stars have their, they are the ones who make the cycle, the 24-hour cycle. They say in simple language as follows. One of the very big tainus, they say it like this. Let's say we perceive a star on the far east at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now let's say this star is far away from us. Let's say 10 million light years, which is not very far for a star. In other words, the light from this star takes 10 million years to get to us. And 12 hours later, we see him on the far west, right? Because the world has a cycle. In other words, if he were taking a straight pattern, he would have gone straight. He made 20 million light years in 12 hours. By nature, this speed, he should burn in an instant. It's impossible. It's naturally impossible. Let us take into consideration he doesn't go straight. He has to go up and down, which is another few million light years. It's impossible that he took 20 million light years, or let's add the ratio of the circle, in 12 hours. Because by nature, he'd be burnt in a moment. That speed, 20 million light years, or 30 million light years, in 12 hours, is a speed that by nature absolutely will burn out in an instant. Terrible question. And I believe, this is my understanding, the Goyen says there is an answer to this question. And the answer is the Teli. If this cycle of this star would be a natural cycle, in other words, it would be a cycle of nature, then you'd be right. Because nature, in this speed, loses its existence. But it's not a cycle of nature. There is something hidden. There is a Melech Bekisoi. There is the king in the throne, that he is the one who makes this cycle. Now, it's not a natural cycle. I would elaborate just for another moment to go into the depths of it. This Teli is actually called the mother of the stars. He creates the star in his position the first moment, creates it in the second moment, the third moment, the fourth moment, the fifth moment. It's not his cycle. He creates it every moment in different positions. Therefore, there's no question that the speed should burn itself up. Because it's not a natural speed. Every moment he's created in a different position. And that is what Chachmi Yisrael believe. Chachmi Yisrael see, we see a natural cycle. We see Galgal turns the mazolis. It's a natural cycle. And therefore we say it's impossible that these mazolis, that there is a hand guiding it. It's impossible, Chachmi Yisrael, to say that health and happiness and riches and children and everything else, that there is a hand guiding it. The world turns about itself, and by nature, everything turns. And the Goyen says, because the king on the throne is hidden from your eyes. And really, there is something very hidden in the world, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, that is actually what turns this cycle. This is the first word that I wanted to tell you. And in another few minutes, I think you'll understand what am I trying to bring out with this understanding. I think you could imagine it's very important for me that I said this whole Gemara, because there's something very deep that I want to bring out. Now, let us come back to Hashgacha. I'm going to introduce today, Rabbi Yisai, an overall picture of the three basics of Yiddishkeit. Let me play for a moment on a beautiful chazal which we heard yesterday from Rabbi Yisrael Rakovsky. Rabbi Yisrael said over a beautiful chazal and a pshat from the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen says, when the Gemara says, Shloisha Shloimois Heim, there are three dreams that a person can have that this picture actually hints and means peace. And they are Nohar, Kedero, Vetzipor. A river, a kettle, and a bird. The Goyen says, as we heard yesterday, that there are three types of peace in what we know about. The first type of Sholem is a river. In other words, when I plow, if I plow, and all of a sudden someone comes over to me and says, you know, you're ruining my field. You're ruining the Rishus HaRabim. I go into the Rishus HaRabim and I plow my path. I go on my path. And someone says, you're ruining me. You want to plow this way? I want to plow this way. And there's no peace. In a river, there is always peace. Did you ever see a motorboat plowing a path in the river? It's Rishus HaRabim. Who gave you permission to plow? This peace. He plows this way, and she plows this way, and everyone makes his own path, and they say hello to each other. No contradiction. A river, there's always peace. Because everyone's path does not destroy someone else's path. But this is a very small level of peace. Because this Sholem says, we're not really working together. It's just, from far away, you'll see two motorboats say, hi, I'm letting you live your life, you're letting live me my life, everyone takes his own path, and we can live together in peace. This is the first kind of peace. And we heard yesterday in family life many times, it's like that. One part of the family goes this way, and the other part goes the other way. Once in a while they say hello to each other, if they find necessary. And peace, shalom. This is the first type of shalom. Two people, two parties going in its each one its own direction, and no one contradicts each other. The second kind of peace of shalom is the wonderful kettle. The kettle, he found a way to make peace between fire and water. We know fire and water are two enemies, two essences that contradict each other with its absolute form, almost. And the kettle does wonders, makes peace. You take a piece of metal and you put it between the fire and the water, and all of a sudden the fire and water work together in uniform. The fire heats the water, and the water boils up. You have a delicious cup of coffee. You can make delicious food, because through the kettle, here is a new kind of peace. It's not I take my path and you take your path, but we work together in uniform, and this is enabled through a mechitza, through a divider between us, which is the platform of metal. And sometimes two people work together, but there is a platform of metal between them, but they work together in uniform. The third kind of peace, that wonderful bird. Way in the beginning of his creation, Rashi says in Chumash, he was created not from Ofar, not from water, but from Rakak, which means from a mixture of water and Ofar. Water is more spiritual. Ofar is more physical. And here you have a mixture. A bird cannot live in the heavens. He must rest on the ground. A bird doesn't walk on the ground. He lives in the heavens. And here there is a wonderful combination in one creation of heaven and earth. Of heaven and earth, of physical and spiritual, a combination in one creature working in uniform. This is the most beautiful way of peace. How two contradictions can live together in one mitzvah, in one being. Three kinds of peace. I would like to put an insight that we know the most important shalom is between Hashem Yisbarach and His people. In Shir HaShirim, we have Mesholim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are a Shidduch. The Bezriel explained beautiful, beautiful how the Chasna went about. Beautiful Chasna. Beautiful wedding. A lot of glasses broken. But that's not the point at this moment. Baruch Hashem, we're together, we're happy. And there are three kinds of communications between a Jew and his HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a communication sometimes like a river. I go my way, you go on your way. You banish them, I do my mitzvahs. You take care of your world. And we say hello to each other once in a while. This is a way of communication. There's a communication where a Yid could work with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in uniform with a mechitza. And there's a communication without a mechitza. Now, let me, Rabbi Sai, tell you, I think that these three communications are mitzvahs, tefillah, and Torah. Mitzvahs, that's the river. Tefillah is the cattle. And Torah is the bird. Now let me explain myself. In a family, in an ish ve'isha, there are really three kinds of communications. There's a communication like a river. Now let me explain to what I mean. The kesher between an ish and an isha is a very, very special kesher. There is a lot of love in the world. You have a love, mi yiten chok ochli, a love to a brother. You have a love of parents. But the specialty of a love and the communication between a man and a wife is that this is a 24-hour, it's a lifetime setup that a person is acting as a husband or acting as a wife. When she goes into the supermarket, she's going as a wife. When he's working in the office, they know he's married. This is mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is something which was object to grasp our 24 hours. The core difference, Rabbi Yisai, the core difference between the Jew and a non-Jew, I'll put into the language I once said to a ger. I once met a ger tzedek. And I said, what did you find in Judaism? He happened to be in Israel. He says, Achshav shani Yehudi, now that I'm a Jew, ani mitpalel lekel emet, I pray to the true God. And I said, my friend, you can pray to the true God as a goy. Mi mizrach shemesh ad mevoyoy godel shmi bagoyim. Kol mokoy muktaru mugosh l'shmi. Hashem says, everyone prays to the true Hashem. On every American dollar bill says, a God we trust. And of course, we know who they trust, but it's nishposhet. I don't want to go into it. You don't have to be Jewish to know Hashem. The specialty of a Jew is Taryag Mitzvahs. Taryag Mitzvahs means 613, which is divided into 365 days, 248 limbs. The specialty of a Jew is, every day, I am a Jew. I'm not a Jew when I'm in the shul. I don't act as a Yid on Shabbos. A goy is a good tumah on Sunday morning. He sits in his cloister like a little angel. And he's a good goy. When he's on the Bowery, he's not a good Catholic. The side of a Yid is, you're a Yid in the kitchen, you're a Yid in the bedroom, you're a Yid in the dining room, you're a Yid when you get dressed, you're a Yid when you tie your shoes. I told this girl, I told him, you know why you became Jewish? So you should know how to tie your shoes as a Jew. That's the essence of a Jew. When you put on that right shoe, and then you put on the left shoe, and then you tie the left shoe, and then the right shoe, then you know you're Jewish. Because a Jew is someone who is Jewish from head to toe. Every moment of his creation, he grasps Hashem. This is the essence of a Jew, and this is the Chiddush of Torah. 365 days, 248 limbs, 365 gidim, every part of me screams Kvod Shamayim. This is the essence of a Yid. Now, when a Yid puts on tefillin, when he ties his shoe, he doesn't necessarily think of Hashem. It's not a bad idea, by the way. Once in a while, we put on tefillin to think of Hashem. But that's not the point. We could put on the mezuzah, we could wear our tzitzis, we could wear our tzitzis clothes. We act as kaviyochol, as a ish ve'isho. Every aspect about us shows that we are Am Hashem. But this is not a tangible communication at this moment. That's why it's called like a river. We go our way, but we're always thinking of Hashem. We're always acting as Hashem's people. And this is mitzvahs. When we do mitzvahs, there isn't always a tangible lemaisedik communication between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But mitzvahs is the first part of shalom. Shalom means to be peace with Hashem, as we said, as in a marriage. Wherever you are, know that you are Hashem. Every situation, whoever you talk to, when you're in business, when you're at home, you're in the supermarket, wherever you are, there's never a moment that a Yid doesn't find Hashem. It's not the Chiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set us up such a beautiful Yiddishkeit. When we go to the supermarket and we take those products and we watch them call and we look for the Hechsher, this is Dveikus. This is a kiss from Hashem. We are acting as Hashem's people. We don't think about Hashem at that moment. We're looking for a Hechsher. Because we know, we've already got used to it. That's what you can eat. But this is our 24-hour communication with Hashem. Now this is like the river. The second kind of communication is like the kettle. The kettle, he's a genius. He finds a way to actually bring together on the one platform fire and water. And that is tefillah. Tefillah is a way that a Jew, a Yid, has positive lemaisadika communication with Hashem. Baruch ato Hashem. L'cho Hashem ha-gedula. Of course, mitzvah, tefillah could be a mitzvah also. A person could daven 70 years, never think of Hashem. That's not the way you're supposed to daven. But we're talking about tefillah, how tefillah should look. Tefillah is supposed to be a communication between us and Hashem. It's good that we remind ourselves sometimes. But that's what tefillah is by its simple definition. Talking to Hashem. Now tefillah is already like the kettle. This is something completely different. Now let me continue and explain that tefillah in its beautiful form, in its absolute form, I hope Ezra Hashem this afternoon to discuss it more at length, What is tefillah? Tefillah is a form of shalom. It's a form of peace. And just like in the previous piece that we discussed, peace is not something which when you talk together on a battleship, that's not peace. Peace is living together in peace. Peace is a 24-hour project. And tefillah in its beauty is that a person lives with tefillah. In family life, tefillah, the mashal of family life is, we tell couples, talk to each other. Did you ever see a man and wife breggers? Do you know why they're breggers? Because they don't know that they can get together. And when you say to them, if you're a good couple, open up, talk. You think, he came with a frown on his face, you know why? He stubbed his Thomas can. What do you want from him? And he walks into the house, and she's convinced that he's angry at her, that he doesn't like her cooking. And it's breggers. She doesn't say, Anka, what happened? And maybe he doesn't want to say what happened. Someone insulted him. It's a big yisayid in family life. I just want to tell you this in parentheses. It's yisayid in all life. When you go in the morning, I just want to tell you this, everybody say, when you go in the morning and that bus driver slams the door on your face, he doesn't mean you. He means his wife in the morning. You're Nebuch the carbon. He doesn't mean you. He means his boss. He means, I don't know who he means. He doesn't mean you. Don't be insulted. Don't get angry at him. And the same is true between the man and his wife. When he comes home, he doesn't mean you. And if she's disturbed, she doesn't mean you. What to tell the people? Open up. Talk to each other. You'll see how beautiful you can get together if you talk. And the same is true between us and Hashem. You have a problem? Talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem. Hashem is here. Hashem is close. It's like a kettle. It feels like a kettle. Bring. Of course, Elokim b'shamayim v'atal ha'aretz. And you know how far it is from Shemayim to Aretz? Let me quote a Medrash, not an exact quote. And the Gemara Medrash says it like this. Min ha'aretz la'shamayim, there's 500 years difference. There's 500 years vast space. And then the thickness of the Shemayim are the 500 years. And each Shemayim is 500 years. And seven Shemayims. And then you come to the Chayas HaKodesh. And Ragli HaChayas Keneged Kulam. And Kasuli HaChayas Keneged Kulam. We come to space of millions of years. And when a Jew says, Hoshio Hashem, Hashem Koriv Loi Minishmas Apoi, Hashem is closer than the breath of your nose. Do you know how close that is? Hashem is close in the breath of your nose. When you daven, Hashem is with us. That's what tefillah is. Talk, open up. Communication. And that's the second type of peace. Like the kettle. You can bring together fire and water, and they should work together. And they'll cook each other. And they'll find a way how to work in uniform. Tefillah is not a chore we have bokeh tzedayim ve'erev. That's not what tefillah is. Tefillah is a pattern of life. Va'ani tefillah, David HaMelech said. It's a way of living. Living with Hashem. Just like when you have two people walking. They work together. Tefillah, the object of tefillah is to work with Hashem. That's the kettle. To work in uniform. Every problem, discuss it. Hashem, what do you say? Are you able to help me? Of course you're able to help me. No. That's what tefillah is. And someone who starts working with Hashem, you'll see how beautiful Hashem is. And this is the second type of peace of communication. The first type was like the river. Mitzvahs. We do our mitzvahs, eat kosher, mezuzah, tefillin, tzitzis, tzniyis, lashon hara. But it's a 24-hour communication, but not necessarily an absolute close communication. When a person shuts up and talks lashon hara, it's a gvaldik mitzvah, even though he doesn't remember Hashem. When a certain person is in argument, closes his mouth, this is greatness of greatness. But this is not a communication with Hashem. Maybe it's even greater communication of Hashem. Tefillah is like the kettle. There's a third communication called Torah. Torah is like the bird. Rabbi Sai, my power of speaking, of explanation is poor and pale to discuss what Torah is. Chazal tell us, La'olam yira adam shekadosh medaber mitoich me'ov. When a person learns Torah, kaviyochol Hashem Yisbarach is within him. It's not like a communication of the kettle, it's like the bird. It's the Shemayim and the Oretz become one. A person becomes a piece of fire. It's a communication of oneness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Torah is a completely different capacity. Torah is the absolute communication of peace, which Chazal tell us the mashal of a bird, just like a bird was created with Ofer and Mayim, you could put spirit and you could mix it. You could mix it with physical and it could become one and all of a sudden it's flying. You can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu within you when you learn Torah. And these are three kinds of communications. There's a communication of a river, which is mitzvahs. The communication of tefillah, which is like the kettle. And there's the communication of a bird. When we learn Torah, the oneness that a Jew has with Hashem Yisbarach, that his understanding, we call it Das Torah. All of a sudden he understands Torahdik. Hashem's understanding, Hashem's mind becomes, kaviyachol, becomes part of him. He sees like Hashem sees. He understands as Hashem understands, kaviyachol. This is a new kind of communication called Torah HaKadosh. And of course, this is very special for Am Yisrael. And again, this is a 24-hour communication. Now, it's not easy for me to explain how it works, a 24-hour communication. But let us just say a word. When a person is koine Torah, gets a das Torah, everything he does is Torahdik. A person makes thousands of decisions a day. When a person becomes acquainted with Torah, then his decisions are al pi Torah. His decision is, how should I say it? I once heard from a Talmud that he saw, he peeked in, and he saw the Baron Kotler, there was some shindike shaila of askonis of tzibur, and the Baron was very wondering what to do, and he's walking back and forth. He said, "What would the Chassam Sofer do? What would the Chassam Sofer do?" And in truth, someone who learns Torah, we don't say these words. What does Hashem say? What would Hashem tell me to do? Chocham odif minovi. Because Torah gives a person part and partial with Torah. We become a piece of Torah. We become Torahdik. It's not for nothing we call B'nai Torah. And I think everyone knows I'm talking two sides of the Mechitz. It's exactly the same thing. The Hashkafa of Torah. We absorb Torah. It becomes a part of us. This is the third communication. The third communication is, as we had said, the bird. Three kinds of communications, which are the basics of Judaism. Again, this is my pshat. I mean, I'm not saying that to accept it. But I'm using as a remez the river, the kettle, and the bird. Mitzvahs, tefillah, and Torah. Mitzvahs is live as a Jew. Tefillah is talk to Hashem. And Torah is learn Torah, and your mind should become, get the understanding of Torah. And this is a completely different kind of communication of Torah. Now, what I want to bring out is that the communication of Torah is very, very special. And here is where I'm going to bring out what I started with. And I'm going to tell you the language of the Sefer Yetzirah, I'm not, my mouth, of course, is not roy to say these holy words. But we're learning Torah. Every Jew could learn Torah. Sefer Yetzirah says these words. Teli ba'olam kemelech al kisoy. Galgal b'shono kemelech b'medina. Nefesh, excuse me, lev b'nefesh kemelech b'milchoma. Now I feel he's telling us, besides all the wonders that this Avraham Avinu is telling us, which is al pi kabbalah, we have no inkling what's going on here. But just for our diagram, there are three kinds of malchus, three kinds of monarchies we have in our world, in our lives. There is a lev benefesh. Now a lev benefesh is like a melech b'milchama. A melech that goes out in war, the war is ponim v'ocher. He's in a constant fight. Sometimes he loses, sometimes he wins. And here you see the glory of the melech, really. But it's a war. The lev, our heart, within us, is always at war. The milchama is a constant one. The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. This is the war, the milchama of mitzvahs. One day we talk more lashon hara, one day we talk less lashon hara. One day we daven more kavane, one day we daven less kavane. This melech, if we win the war, then we're a melech, we're a king. If we lose the war, then you're a